You're listening to a message from Redemption Community Church, a life-giving church in Westchester County, New York. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or follow our messages online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
Two weeks ago, Pastor started his series by talking to us about who Jesus is, the majestic Jesus Christ. Jesus is not just a king. He's the King of Kings. Jesus is not just a prophet. He is the great prophet. And today we're going to talk about Jesus not being just a priest. He's our great high priest. Let's remember who Jesus is. You know, in the world, it can kind of get watered down. But Jesus is everything to me and to all of us. All right. And then last week, we had Pastor Nicholas visit us from Sweden. Here we support churches in the Northeast, and the Northeast stretches all the way to Sweden. And it was great having Pastor Nicholas and his family with us last week. He focused on resting in the finished work of Jesus and having the faith to do so. He asked us to rest in Jesus and rest in work and rest in peace. So how do we do last week in resting in the Lord? If you're like me, you might have discovered what it means to strive to rest. All right? And for a lot of people in America, they won't understand that. But here in New York, we're so busy. Even when we go on vacation, we're busy. All right? So it's hard to find that time to just be with the Lord. But I want to encourage us all to strive, to have that special time of just resting in Jesus. You'll find that it's just such a special time. So it's just something worth keep going after if you possibly can. Today, I'm going to pick up where Pastor Nicholas left off. We're going to be looking at Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 to 16. We're going to be looking at Jesus, our high priest, which is one of the major themes of the book of Hebrews. Now, like some of you, I grew up a Roman Catholic, and my parents blessed us with 12 years of Catholic education. I'm old enough to remember when the Mass was performed in Latin. But the good news was it changed to English the year I became an altar boy. Priests held a special place in our life then, in that they were the mediators between us and God. On Saturdays, I would go to confession, and I would confess my sins to the local priest, and then I would get to say lots of Our Fathers and Hail Marys afterwards. I even got to serve Mass for John Cardinal Cody when he came to our church for a service. And believe me, when the cardinal arrives, it's kind of a big event. And my grandfather had two brothers who were priests of the Redemptorist Order. And the motto of the Redemptorist Order is found in Psalm 130, verse 7. With him is great redemption. And it's interesting that today we serve at Redemption Community Church. Coincidence? I wonder. One of my earliest memories was Father Joe, one of my grandfather's brother, his 50th anniversary celebration as a priest. And Father Frank served the lepers on the island, the Hawaiian island of Molokai, for a year. And that was before they had a cure for leprosy, so very dangerous work. But even more dangerous work was when he planted the missions in the jungles of Brazil with the tribes there. And that was very dangerous work. Father Frank was one of those guys, when you're in his presence, he was my great uncle, so I was little then. But when I was in his presence, I knew that he loved the Lord. You could just sense it. He didn't even have to say anything. Now, my experience with priests all through growing up was just really good. I just had an excellent, excellent experience growing up. But I had not grown close to the Lord myself. Even though I knew all the rituals, and even though I heard the word of God on a regular basis, I had not given my whole heart to Jesus at that time. And maybe you had a similar experience growing up as well. In Old Testament times, the people of God were also served by priests. And the high priest served as the mediator. He was the go-between between God and the people and the people and God. And once a year on Yom Kippur, which is the Day of Atonement for the Jewish people, their holiest day of the year, he would bathe and get dressed in a special way that you can kind of actually see in a picture that's going to come up here, kind of showing what a high priest would have looked like then. And you see that on his breastplate, there's a plate there with 12 stones on it, each stone representing one of the tribes of Israel. And then the high priest would make a sacrifice of the blood of a bull and a goat to sacrifice for his sins and the sins of all the people. And then he would pass through the tent of meeting, through the veil, into the most holy place, and he would place some of that blood of the bull and the goat on the mercy seat on the Ark of the Covenant. At that time, only the high priest was permitted to come into the presence of the Lord and make atonement for his sins, for the sins of his household, and the sins of all the community of Israel. Now, let's fast forward to the New Testament. We know that Jesus came as a fulfillment of all the Old Testament laws and priesthood. Everything points to him. We see in Hebrews 4:14 that Jesus is our great high priest. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. Jesus, as our great high priest, is different from all the other high priests. Jesus didn't just go through the veil into the most holy place of a temple or a tabernacle. He went through the heavens and sits at the right hand of God, and he intercedes for us there. And Jesus is the Son of God, and he lived a perfect life on our behalf, which makes him the perfect mediator between us and Almighty God. In my publishing career, from time to time, we would work with mediators, and a mediator is a person who knew both parties very well, and his or her role was to get the people to kind of move forward in relationship and get to know each other and begin to kind of move forward to be able to do business, right? In our relationship with God, Jesus is our mediator. He's perfect. As a matter of fact, he has eliminated the need for any other mediators because Jesus is our perfect mediator. And Jesus didn't come to sacrifice the blood of bulls and goats. He offered himself as a sacrifice for our sins. It was his blood that he offered as he took the place on the cross, our place on the cross. He's the last lamb that was led to the slaughter. And I'm so thankful for what Jesus did for me. Didn't deserve it, but he died for me on that cross, and I am so thankful for that. And Jesus does not have to make a sin offering every year. He's risen from the dead, and his priesthood is eternal. This is the once-for-all-time sacrifice. Jesus told us on the cross, it is finished. When Jesus died, the earth shook, and God took that veil, and he tore it in two so that the most holy place was open. In the Old Testament, only the high priest could come into the presence of God, but Jesus' sacrifice opened a way for all of us to come into God's presence. Jesus has restored our relationship with God. This is the good news of the gospel. Since we have such a great high priest, let's hold firmly to the faith that we profess. So what kind of high priest is Jesus? First, Jesus is a high priest who can sympathize with us. We see in Hebrews 4:15 at the beginning of the verse, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses." You know, growing up a Roman Catholic, I always wondered whether or not the priests could relate to me. You know, did they kind of have the same struggles I had and the same temptations I had? And I've even wondered that about Jesus. Could Jesus relate to me? Do you ever wonder that too? After all, he is God. But Jesus was born as a human being and lived a fully human life. And he experienced all the same things we do. He experienced emotions, hurt, loss, betrayal, and even temptation. He's not just a God up there somewhere. He's the Son of God who came to us and walked in our shoes so he can have compassion on us as our high priest. So we see in Hebrews 2:18, because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those of us who are being tempted. So Jesus can relate to us because he was tempted just like we're tempted. I believe that Jesus' greatest temptation was when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane on the night that he was betrayed. Jesus was praying to the Father, saying, "If this cup could pass from me, but not my will be done, your will be done." And Jesus was essentially saying to God, "Listen, if there's another way to do this other than my going to the cross, right, and taking on all the sins of mankind and being separated from you for the first time, but not my will be done, your will be done." And I believe when Jesus went to that cross, it was the greatest act of obedience in history, and it changed everything. So Jesus is a high priest who can sympathize with us, but secondly, he's also our perfect high priest. You know, there's another big difference between Jesus and the Old Testament high priest, and we see this in Hebrews 4:15 for the rest of the verse. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet without sin. The difference between Jesus Christ and the Old Testament high priest is that he was sinless. Any high priest had to make atonement for his own sins and the sins of the people, but Jesus conquered sin. Jesus was fully human, but at the same time, he also had a fully divine nature, giving him the unique capability of understanding exactly how we feel and yet transcending every bit of it so he can walk and guide us through it. Jesus is our perfect high priest because he understands how we feel, but he can see perfectly beyond it. He's experienced temptation but defeated it and broke the power of sin. Theologians describe it this way: God is both immanent, which means close to us in Christ, and yet transcendent, above our problems and temptations. When we're going through a tough time, isn't it great to have a friend who's been through a similar struggle and kind of understand what we're going through? But it's even better to have a friend who can help us overcome the problem. That's the kind of friend Jesus is. I found times in my life when I need Jesus' sympathy, but there are also times when I need his strength to get through a challenging time. My mom used to say to us, "Straighten up and fly right." You know, my mom was full of love and sympathy, but she also knew there were times for me to take an issue on head on and have victory in that area. Since Jesus is our high priest, how should we live? What should we do in times of temptation and struggle? Let's look at three things we should do in our time of need. And this is a good time to take some notes. You can pull out the note paper that you were given when you came into the theater today, or on our Redemption app, we have a note section. So we'll look at three things that we should do in our time of need. The first thing we should do in our time of need is go directly to the source of help. Let's take a look at Hebrews verse 4:16. Let us approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. So the first thing we need to do is to go directly to our source of help. Verse 16 tells us, let us go and approach the throne of grace. We can go directly to Jesus, our source of help. But so many times, we go to other sources before going directly to Jesus, our high priest, don't we? Just recently, I had done something stupid. I let hackers into our computer, and to be frank, I went right to the Geek Squad for help with that computer. And the Geek Squad was great, but they couldn't help me with the hurt and the anxiety and the fear that I was feeling. And my beautiful wife suggested that we go to prayer, and with the help of very good friends, Dawn and Simon, who head up our prayer ministry here at the church, we were able to go to the Lord, and I was able to begin to get my joy and my peace back. You know, there's no problem with getting help when we need it, like the Geek Squad's help with my computer. But God is the one we turn to for peace and protection. So Jesus, as our mediator, has made a way for us to have direct access to the Father, to his throne of grace. Can you imagine what it would be like to have direct access to the President of the United States, where you can go into the Oval Office anytime you want? When I was growing up, it'd be awesome, right? When I was growing up, somebody had that kind of access to President Kennedy. And you can see that in this picture here. Now, for those of you who are not of my generation, all right, that's John. That's John Kennedy, the young John Kennedy. And there were pictures in Time Magazine of John and Carolyn dancing and enjoying themselves in the Oval Office. And I think, by the way, that's kind of a symbol of how the Lord would like us to come to him, just full of joy and just coming to him and just experiencing the great delight of just being in his presence. And you can see here in this picture that President Kennedy has got a little smile on his face too. And I think that's how God feels when we come to him and are in his presence. He just kind of smiles and just enjoys having us there. Because Jesus is our high priest, we have direct access to Father God. So having access to the present, that's one thing. We have direct access to Father God. Now think about that. It's amazing. We can go to him in prayer in our time of need. Prayer is a privilege granted to us through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. In Jeremiah 29:13, it says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." Let's come before the Lord in prayer with our whole heart. Now, I want to let you know that when Pastor Jeremy and I are preparing messages like this, we're preparing messages as much for us as we are for you. We're just as challenged as you may be in some of these areas. And as I was preparing this message, I was saying, look at what Jesus sacrificed to give me access to the throne of grace. Why don't I go more often? And I thought about it a little while, and one of the things was, going back to my Catholic background, is prayer was kind of a formal thing. It was something you did during certain times, and it was, as I said, just kind of very formal. It's also, there may be something a little bit intimidating about coming up to the throne of grace. Right? But God is looking for us to be in relationship with him. That's what it was about, the restoration of that relationship. It's about coming into his presence. You know, it makes me think about when God was walking in the Garden of Eden and he was looking for Adam and Eve. You know what he wanted to do? He wanted to hang out with them. He wanted to be with them, all right? And we also see the same thing when Jesus is with the 12 disciples. Jesus he's with those disciples for 3 years, 13 guys together. Now, don't kid yourself. There was plenty of laughing, all right? They were teasing Peter, telling fish stories. Okay, there was all that kind of thing going on over there. But it was about relationship. It was about being together, right? And that is really what the Lord is kind of calling us to, is to be in that right relationship. He's looking to hang out with us here. So let's go to him in prayer with our whole hearts as we go forward. The second thing we should do in our time of need is to go with confidence. Looking at verse 16 again, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence. You know, we can go to God with confidence, not with fear or trepidation or worry, doubt or shame. If we could put the picture back up of the high priest, when a high priest used to go through that veil into the most holy place, you can see in his gown and one of the hems, he's got bells all around that gown. And the reason those bells were there is that when he went through the veil, the priests that were on the outside of the veil, because remember, the high priest is the only one allowed to go into the presence of the Lord, can hear those bells ringing as he moved around the most holy place, as he put some of the blood from the bull and the goat on the tabernacle, on the Ark of the Covenant, the most holy seat there. And so he would move around, the bells would ring. They also tied a rope around his ankle, because if those bells stopped ringing and he died in the presence of God, they wanted to be able to pull him out with that rope. Now, that's called going into the presence of God with trepidation. But we can go with confidence, not because of what we have done or what we have not done. We can go with confidence because of the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross, because our great high priest has made a way for us. And I'm so thankful for that. And third, the third thing we should do in our time of need is to go with expectation. Let's look at the last phrase of verse 16, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. So let's go with expectation that he's a God of mercy and grace who wants to help us. I remember many years ago as I was coming out of the Northwestern University parking lot, I had just finished my last final exam of the quarter, and I wasn't really paying as much attention as I should. And a car had just turned kind of in front of me, and I pulled out, and I hit her. Now, at that time, I was on my parents' car insurance, so I called my dad to let him know what had happened. And my dad could not have shown more grace and mercy. Matter of fact, he was more worried about, you know, make sure everybody was okay. And I could always go to my father with confidence, right, and I still can, that he would show grace and mercy, and that he would love me no matter what happened. Now, you may be thinking, Lord, I just pray that we will approach your throne of grace with greater confidence because of what Jesus has done for us. So you may be thinking, Pastor Jim, I have one area of my temptation in my life that I can't seem to move past. These areas can sometimes stop us from approaching the throne of grace because of the shame that we feel. Because these are exactly the times of need we should be approaching the throne of grace. We see in 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has seized you except for what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. You know, when we bring our temptations into the light, we discover other people are going through very similar temptations. Many people feel that the evil one has a free hand in tempting us. But this is not true. God is faithful and that he will not let us be tempted beyond what we can bear, even though he doesn't always feel that way to us. With every temptation that comes our way, he provides a way out so we can stand up under it. I found in my life that the Holy Spirit will prompt me to not head down a path of temptation. Has he ever prompted you in that way? And what we need to do is we need to listen to those prompts and follow those prompts and not go down those paths. And we may find it helpful to have an accountability partner whose face will come to mind when we're tempted. Maybe you can find a friend in your life group or on the team that you serve with here at Redemption. And sometimes the Holy Spirit will bring scriptures to mind, just helping us resist temptation. There are many ways the Lord provides so we can stand up under temptation. And even when we've failed, given into temptation and sinned, we go with the expectation that God will extend his grace to us. We see in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. When we do sin, Jesus, our great high priest, has opened a way for us to go to God's throne of grace and mercy. And if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive them. Let's keep short accounts with God. When we sin, let's go to the throne of grace immediately and repent so he can purify us from all unrighteousness. Jesus, our great high priest, gave it all for us to have a direct relationship, our direct relationship with God restored. This is the good news of the gospel. Can you imagine what our lives will be like when we draw near to God in our times of need? The Lord will direct our path to the destiny he has for us. He will sympathize with us when we're struggling and console us when we're hurting. He will empower us to achieve his will on this earth. And those areas of temptation that seem to have us ensnared will lose their power through his grace and mercy, and we'll become more righteous. We will become more like Jesus. So let me close with a question. What areas of your life have you been tempted to turn elsewhere rather than Jesus Christ, our great high priest? I know in the past I've behaved in this way, said, Lord, I trust you in these areas of my life, but there are a couple like really important areas. I think I'm going to hang on to control in those areas. You know, it might be finances or choosing a marriage partner or business decisions. The list can go on and on. But let's trust Jesus in all areas of our life and turn to him in our time of need. So let me pray. Lord, I do thank you, Lord, that you so wanted to be in relationship with us, Lord, that you sent us your Father. We love you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, for sacrificing it all for us on that cross. We thank you, Lord, that you have opened our way to the throne of grace and mercy. I pray that each of us, Lord, will turn to you in our time of need in all areas of our life. We pray, Lord, this will be a time of restoring our relationship with you and drawing near. You paid the price for us, Lord, and now we want to come near to you. And I thank you for this. In the beautiful name of Jesus, amen and amen.
Thanks for tuning into our podcast. If you'd like to connect with us or learn more about our church, please visit us online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. We hope you can listen or join us next week.